It is now Wednesday afternoon. I am home this afternoon. I had the day off, and I had to do some things in the morning, but I had the afternoon to go over the data. Yesterday, I entered everything, finished it up, and I had one minor fit and or start where I came in with about 189 varsity entries, and the data was saying it was only 165. And of course, I immediately jumped on the electronic horn to Chris Palmer, and it turned out that what I had done was I had added in the waitlist people by mistake. So I was able to scrape myself off the ceiling and get back to work. I mean, the thing is, first of all, the tournament should be 160 people. That's a reasonable number for a variety of reasons. It's a reasonable number because we'll break two doubles. And, okay, we're going to break 32 people out of 160. That's 20% of the field. Not easy, but not terrible. You know, I've seen worse breaks than that. I could mention the fact that it is a quarters bid, and but there is something to be said for not really worrying about what bid it is. I mean, this is the Yale tournament. This isn't the entry to some other tournament. And this was something that Richard Sotico once pointed out. He doesn't run his tournament as the entry to somebody else's tournament. He runs his tournament as his tournament. And that's a good way to look at things. Sure, a lot of people may be trying to get to the Tournament of Champions, and that's a fine, outstanding goal. But each tournament does stand on its own and should be treated as an entity of itself. Anyhow, right at this moment, I have just finished going over the lists that are posted on the tournament website and double-checked everything. And at this moment, and this may not happen again for the rest of the weekend, but the number of people that I have is the same as the number of people that the tournament thinks it has. At some point, we will get out of whack again, no doubt, Friday, when people start registering and reality starts to set in on all of us. But until then, we're in pretty good shape. I've also entered in all the judges. And what I've done with the judges is some of them are just obviously varsity judges. I mean, no question about it. Some of them have said, put me in varsity or I'll shoot you. And then they're justified to a degree in making this request. There are some judges that have also specified that they should be in the JV pool. These tend to be the newer judges, less experienced judges, one or two crackpots who I know should be judging varsity but have chosen not to. They shall remain nameless. But, you know, so far I've put everybody where they said they wanted to be. I haven't made any judgment calls whatsoever. Now, the judgment call is going to come because we are going to break up the pools. You're either going to be varsity or JV at least on Saturday. Because we have a varsity round, we have a JV round, a varsity round, a JV round. We alternate. And this way, a judge knows they have an hour or so, hour and a half off, hour and a half on, whatever the case may be. They know when to be available. They know when to put their feet up. I think this is a good thing. We did this last year, and nobody complained that they knew exactly when they had to show up and that the rest of the day, when they didn't have to show up, they were free. This is good to know in advance. At one point, Chris did suggest that we might come up with a really cockamamie way of doing it so that the varsity was in one building and the junior varsity was somewhere else, but the operative word was cockamamie, and we just moved on from that thought. For those who have a good memory, last year we had three rounds on Friday, and then we had, I think, our first break round was on Saturday night and worked from there. And this year, Chris arranged it. He worked on the schedule with the Bullpups. And this year, he came up with an idea of having just two rounds on Friday and doing it a little differently and adding essentially an extra break round on Sunday. And Joe Vaughn and I pretty much agreed with this. It looks like it's going to work. I mean, Saturday's going to work fine. It's, you know, the last round will get off at 8 o'clock. It's only the fourth round that the varsity people will have had. So it's a light day for them. It's a little late, but nobody's going to be exhausted because at most everybody's had, you know, three rounds up till then, as far as the judges are concerned, that is. So it's not a terrible situation. But last year we did have this thing where we had three rounds on Friday. And here's the problem with that. I mean, the first two rounds were random, of course, and we had 160 in two divisions, and then we had to run the third round. And you just have to do the math on this. 160 rounds in two divisions is 160 ballots, okay? Because there's one ballot for each two people. Okay, so that's 160 ballots that we have to enter into the computer before we can get to the next round, before we compare the round. Pairing the round on the computer is virtually instantaneous. There's really not much to it on a big tournament. A small tournament, you might have some handwork to do because the computer might balk at pull-ups or judging or something like that. But when you have a big tournament, the computer just does it without a pause. The problem is entering the data into the computer, 160 ballots. To do this correctly, it takes, let's say, 20 seconds to do one ballot. That's 20 seconds. That would be 20 times 160. Again, do the math. That's about an hour. It takes about an hour to enter that many ballots. Now, that's slow. If you code around 2 on a Friday night and you get back and it's, let's say, 8 o'clock, 8:30, something like that, and you start sitting around waiting, we're not going to have that round out. We have to get all the ballots in. There's always one or two judges that decide to, you know, stroll off to the nearest cockfight. We have to go find them and get their, you know, wipe off the ballot and bring it back. And that's always a problem. So by the time we have all the ballots in hand and then spend another hour, it might be 10 o'clock before that round gets out on a Friday night when people have mostly traveled up that day. This is not a good situation. So what we did last year to avoid that situation, and we ran this past the pups in charge, because it's, you don't really want to do this at a good tournament, is we lag paired round 3. In other words, we paired round 3 only off of round 1 rather than off of round 1 and round 2. This speeded everybody up. The few people who really knew what we were doing thought we had made the right choice. I mean, there were certainly people in the field who came to us about, are you lag pairing? We said, yeah. And they said, you know, that's good. No one complained. It was not a bad thing. We'd probably still be there if we hadn't done it. On top of that, by the way, the Friday night in question, there were thunderstorms. All hell was breaking loose out there. So it was bad enough that people were in and out in the all hell that was breaking loose, much less having them go out and do it again and get home at midnight and you have to get back at 8 o'clock. So the solution to that problem is this year we're having a longer day on Saturday of elimination rounds. But as I say, for the competitors, should be pretty easy. So anyhow, as of this point, 2 days before registration, and almost literally 2 days before the tournament is about to begin, we are in very good shape. I still need to get the room list from Chris, but that shouldn't be a big problem. And I can get that even on Friday. I mean, that's just typing in whatever. This may need 40-some-odd rooms. So typing that in and then double-checking the entries as they come along. So if there are any really strange things between now and then, I'll let you know. Otherwise, I think we're good to go for the next couple of days.